Welcome back to the lounge. I've got Susan Papula joining me, and she has founded Mosaic World. Well, first of all, welcome to the lounge, Susan.
Thank you very much for having me, Audrey.
Always great to chat with really interesting new people with a lot to advocate for. So let's tell me more about Mosaic World.
Well, Mosaic World is a combination of things, and ultimately, you could call it my vision for the world that we live in. Because if you think of the world in its rich diversity, with everyone having of something of value, something to offer, and if you think if we come together, whether it's in organizations, education, any space, with a common purpose, it binds us together like glue. And if you think of those diverse pieces, that creates something beautiful, like a mosaic piece of art. And so I talk about developing a mosaic world, and that comes to play. It started off with the second book that I wrote, Consequences Diverse to Mosaic Britain. But then it's a theme that has followed through and become increasingly conscious in everything that I do.
I think that is such an important message to put across, because what you're saying is not just about diversity, which has become a bit of a buzzword. You're talking about inclusivity. You're talking about every single piece contributing to a bigger whole. And I mean, that probably leads me to another question. Where are we still lacking when it comes to that inclusivity? I mean, that's a big question, I guess.
No, actually, it's funny. It's a big question. And I actually have a simple answer to the question that not everyone would like. And that is, understandably, to some extent, when we talk about inclusivity, we typically start from the position of self and our needs and our wants, what we need. I want to be included. This is how I feel. This is what I want. Or the person whose course is in close proximity to mine. That is important, but we often forget others or the people already in that space that it actually they might have some advantage, but it's not that it's going perfectly for them or another group. So I think what we're lacking is the ability to say, yes, there's me, I'm important, but also to be able to hold space and empathy for others as well.
I love that phrase, hold space for others. That is beautiful, and that is very, very powerful. And it's funny, I've had some conversations today with other practitioners, and with what they're advocating for, it's the self that isn't seen, but it's the other that is. So talking about ageism, for example, everyone kind of knows that we ought not to be ageist and we're trying to learn not to be, but we don't think about our own biases and our own upbringing and how that affects our outlook. And I love that. You're so right. It really is easy for us to go, well, I'm missing out here and I feel this isn't right. And when we become quite insular about it, we fail to appreciate in some ways what is being done. And with that, do you think, where do you think a lot of the progress is being made?
And this possibly is a reflection of my bias, but I believe it starts with conversation, where people take the time to talk and to explain, to tell stories. This is my story. What's your story? As opposed to starting from, okay, we know that there's legislation and this is what the legislation says and this is what we must do and how you must behave and you mustn't do this and you can't say that and you have to, and all of those things. I think people then do things out of obligation or they skirt around things. But I think where the real change, the deep embedded change comes about, when we have conversations and I understand your story and why this is important to you, and you understand why I might not have seen it this way. And sometimes we sit down and talk and ultimately at times come to a compromise. That's where I believe that the real change takes place.
Do you think this is happening enough in organizations? I know that's where a lot of your focus is on leadership, is on growth, is on bringing that into that corporate sphere. I know
it's not enough.
No.
I won't even, before you even finish, it's not enough. There's not enough of it, and there's not enough of it with the what I'll call the right people in terms of a fully inclusive conversation. And I guess possibly jump into what you might talk about anyway. You might be aware that I wrote a book related to gender, male perspectives on the value of women at work, in which I spoke to men about women in the workspace. And I know some people think, why does it matter what men think? But it matters because they're in the space alongside women and others. And if we don't understand and they don't understand, there's a limit to the progress we make. And specifically, I mentioned that at this point because one particular man that I interviewed for the book, he used to practice as a GP, and he mentioned going for a conference. And there was a session which was about women. And a friend of his was leading the session. He decided to go to the session. He was the only man in the room. Mm-hmm. And so the ladies were sharing their experiences, their point of view, what works for them, what doesn't, their frustrations and what have you. And everyone in the room was like nodding and agreeing and saying, yes, yes, and me as well, and whatever, whatever. But so it was an echo chamber. The people that really needed to hear and understand weren't there.
Yes, this is very true. And also, when you get into that kind of, I guess, space again, which is being created, you get a situation where you put a narrative onto why those people aren't there, and oh, men just don't care about this, or they don't want to know. Whereas actually, men could be feeling, well, this is awkward, and I don't know how to ask the question, and I'm not even invited there. And you're absolutely right. I read, there was a piece recently about supporting men, in fact, in education, and how men are kind of falling behind because women are now getting better at exams and there's a lot more support for them, and men are lacking the role models. And that's not what equality is all about. It's not one sex being better or worse than the other, is it at all?
No, and that goes back to my mosaic world. When I say everyone has value and everyone has something to offer, and I think we are the better for the value of everyone. I wouldn't celebrate if boardrooms were suddenly full of women and there were no men. I wouldn't see that as a success. Because if we say, and it's true, that we are better off through our diversity and the diverse thinking and viewpoints, that applies when we're saying that they're not female voices. And it equally applies if there are a lack of male voices or the voices of others.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think organizations can do to start changing the system a little bit more? Not just, you know, how diversity is it's tick box, we've got diversity hires, that's not working anymore. What can they really do to start embracing the mosaic approach?
As I said, and it goes back to that conversation. I'm very much from conversations, from masterclasses, interactive masterclasses and dialogue. But it goes to understanding different people. Mm. I know we can talk about intersexuality and the deep dive down, but if I look at it from the gender perspective, men and women typically navigate differently.
Yes.
I mean, and that's not forgetting others as well, but we navigate differently. And if you just even just start at the simple, from the simple perspective of men, women navigate differently. The workplace was designed about around men, typically white men, typically white middle class men, if you think of the office environment. That's not a negative. That was based on the reality of who was in that space at that time. And so the way things are structured, it leans towards the way in which they navigate. So there's a need to better understand how other people navigate, and so that we can make adjustments so that it supports everyone and the value that everyone brings.
And it's not even just the, when you talk about navigation, you're absolutely right. The workplace is set up in a certain way. It's not just women or others fitting into that style, is it? It's about that style shifting a little bit and saying, well, actually, we become better if we embrace this behavior or this form of narrative or this form of navigation.
I would agree. And possibly a way of putting that is to broaden it. So it's not so you sh so that yet there's sometimes it's just a simple shift, but there's sometimes that it's you broaden the criteria, because you see that there's something else of value. So you still take account of what work has worked traditionally for some people, but you add in other things. Yes, sometimes you take things out. But it's broadening things. I mean, I have a tongue in cheek thing that I like to say. You know, people talk about breaking glass ceilings. And I say, gosh, that's quite painful. It feels painful. And we've been trying to do that for quite a long time. What about if instead we started talking about opening doors? And if the doors don't fit,
Yeah.
then we create new doors that fit.
I like that. That's so, it's simplistic and it's beautiful. And you're absolutely right because it doesn't have to be a fight. If we all,
Exactly.
yeah, simply stop and have those conversations, we can find new ways around it. And that's really, really beautiful. I mean, you've done a lot of work in this particular area. You've written a lot of books in this particular area. What is next for you yourself?
Well, two things. So, well, three things. Continue to create an awareness around the book, Male Perspectives on the Value of Women at Work, because I think that's important. I don't believe we will make the progress that we need to make without the inclusion of men in the conversation. In line with that, I'm doing master classes to so that people can have the conversation and we can talk about what practical steps people need to do to move forward. And I'm also currently working on another book which is focused on multiculturalism, and it's a similar book which has different voices, a lot of white voices actually, amongst others, which are talking about their experiences, so that if people understand people's journeys, then we're better able to engage people on the subjects and again move things forward.
Oh my goodness, I could talk to you forever on this. You're really fascinating. Your work is fascinating. Where can we buy your books? Where can we follow you, learn more about you, Susan?
So you can, if you go so mosaicworld.live, LIVE, you'd find me there. Or if you go simple Google my name, Susan Papoula, spelled POPOOLA. And you can also find my books on Amazon or all reputable bookstores.
Oh, yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I'm the same. It's like, yes, the reputable ones.
Yeah.
Oh, Susan, thank you. Please come on the show again. It will be really fascinating to talk a little bit further to see whether we've even progressed.
Most definitely. Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you very much for having me.
And that's all we have time for. But if you'd like to find out more, do go to my website, which is www.draudreyt.com, and check out my articles, which give you practical tools to live your best life. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Audrey Tang, Tools to Thrive.